Let's pray. Lord, as we come to the end, the conclusion of the book of Romans, we ask, Lord, that we understand what you're trying to tell us, and that you plant your word in our hearts, and that we would grow strong for your purpose. In these days, the change we are confronted with, Lord, that you would saturate us with your grace. And Lord, turn the lights on in us, through us, for your purpose, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Coming to the end of the letter, first he said two, you know, in that group of people, and then beginning in verse 21, it's really from Paul writing, say, you know, Timothy, my fellow worker, and all those that are with me, we greet you. Salutations. Pardon? Jason, yeah. Hey, we're going to look at Jason a little bit. But Timothy, you know, just I'm not going to go over everyone, but just a couple of comments. Timothy, you know, the most referred to of this list in the scripture, the epistle of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, written to him. Paul's he passed his baton to Timothy. And the last letter that Paul wrote was 2 Timothy from prison. But 1 2 Timothy, rich with instruction to hold on, to carry on, to pass on. And Timothy was his son in the faith, he referred to him as. You know, carry it on, carry the fight, fight the good fight. But Timothy with him, my fellow worker, and Lucius, he's mentioned in Acts, he's of Cyrene, and he was in the church of Antioch. Jason, I figured we'd take a closer look at him, since, you know, in honor of Jason. But in Acts chapter 17, there's a little mention about him, and he's interesting. Got this little footnote here in Acts 17, beginning with verse 5. Well, verse 4. And some of them were persuaded, a great multitude of devout Greeks, not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. In verse 5. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and, gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." Good thing to be accused of. And Jason, verse 7, has harbored them. And these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another King Jesus. And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let him go. They posted bail and they let him go. But notice in verse 6, these who have turned the world upside down, bringing the gospel, you know, making such a difference, or in my footnote, Pastor Chuck used to say, actually, they turned the world right side up. And bringing Jesus and making such a change with the gospel. Jason in the middle of it. How Sosipater was there, he's mentioned in Acts. Notice in verse 22, Tertius, he was the writer of the letter. Paul dictated the epistle of the Romans to, he was his secretary. You know, take this down. So he, you know, he was the scribe. He wrote it down for Paul. But he, you know, he puts in a little note here, who wrote this epistle, greets you. Hey, you know, I say hi myself. Verse 23, Gaius. Interesting about Gaius. You know, Paul mentions in Scripture that he didn't baptize anyone but Crispus and Gaius, one of the only two that he ever baptized. And he's there with Paul. Gaius, my host. Actually, Paul's with him. And the host of the whole church greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you. Quartus, a brother, in verse 23, these greetings, you know, salutations to you from us. Then, in verse 24, he again repeats this statement, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Really, that was the intent of the, you know, book of Romans. He opened up the gospel of grace, opened up the understanding of grace. May it be with you all. Amen. Amen. And he mentions this back in verse 20 at the end there. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Verse 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Then in verse 25, a blessing. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. He says now, you know, to be established. One of the intents of Paul was not only to start churches, you know, begin conversions, but to ground believers, that they be established, be made strong, be firm in the faith. In Ephesians, he says that you wouldn't be tossed to and fro to every wind of doctrine that comes down the pike. That you be strong in the Scripture, in Jesus Christ, in the truth, established. But notice how. You know, you'd be settled, firm in your faith. But he says you'd be established according to his ability. In verse 25, now to him who is able. It's his ability that gives us, you know, roots, that strengthens us, that gives us strength in our faith, causes us to be firm, steadfast, to go on. And Paul, you know, wishing that, blessing them, oh, may he establish you, his power, his ability. And verse 25, you know, being established by his ability or his power. First mention of, you know, that truth is back in Luke. If you turn in Luke in verse 32, chapter 22, the Gospel of Luke talks about being established by his power. You remember this. He prayed for Peter. In verse 32, verse 31, chapter 22, Luke, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Be strong. Your faith would hold up. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Jesus prayed for him. Jesus prays for us, the Bible tells us. But the first mention of his, you know, intervention, strengthening by his ability. I pray for you, Peter. And when you, you know, recover with strength, share it with the brethren. You know, support the brethren. Support your brothers and your sisters with the strength that he gives you. Established the purpose of the gospel, or the gospel of grace, or the book of Romans, back in chapter 1, verse 11, Paul writes, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift that you may be established. You know, to be rooted, grounded, firm, strong. I like, Corlell teaching in Colossians, turn to it and just read it to you. Chapter 2, Paul wrote to the Colossians. He stated, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving, rooted in him. That's a good, you know, illustration. Rooted in our faith in Christ. Not just, you know, go through the mental exercise, but in our heart, in our belief, in our life, rooted, established in Him. According to my gospel, Paul goes on, as he closes the letter, out of Him who is able to establish you, according to my gospel, he mentions Paul's gospel. He calls it his gospel sometimes because God gave it to him to open up. But it's really, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, he you know, goes on to say, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, that it's all about Christ. It's Christ's gospel. He calls it his because, you know, the Lord showed it to him to open up. But Paul himself says, I don't preach myself, but I preach Christ crucified. That's his gospel. He doesn't preach himself, but Jesus Christ crucified on the cross. The gospel of Christ. He blesses them that they be established and rooted by God's ability, the ability of Jesus Christ, according to the truth that's in the scripture, the gospel. Christ's gospel. The power of God. In agreement with the Word of God. How Paul wants them to be healthy and strong and established and rooted as he comes to the end of the letter. Oh, may you be true, firm, preaching of Jesus Christ. Then he goes on in verse 25, that they be established according to his ability. According to the gospel, preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. He likens the gospel to a mystery that was revealed. This is interesting. You know, it's mentioned over and unfolded in the scripture. But it's kind of interesting to look back when really Jesus is the one who opened it up. If you look back in John 17, when Jesus prayed to the Father, you know, before the crucifixion, Skip Isaac used to say, what happens when Jesus prays? He states, and, you know, it's really about the mystery being opened up, mystery of the gospel. In verse 22, chapter 17, he says, praise, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them. That they may be one, just as we are one, Jesus prayed to the Father. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and I have loved them as you have loved me. The mystery opened up. Interesting, Jesus touches on, you know, in this prayer, he touches on three things about His glory, God's glory. It's given, glory given. It's to be one, that they would be one as we are one. You've heard before, you know, what's the most important vitamin for a Christian? Be one. Be one. Well, he said that you would be one, that we would be one. Opening up the mystery, glory given, be one. And Christ in us, I in them, he said, and revealed this mystery. Who would have known when he came? He came to live in us. He came to die that he would live in us. Opening up this mystery. Then Paul really elaborates and unfolds the mystery, the gospel given to me, the gospel, my gospel. As he opens it up, God told him how. The glory given. You know, Paul wrote in Romans, you recall, moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and these he justified, them he also glorified. Glory given, part of the gospel revealed. He stated in Romans chapter 5, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, the glory given, Paul wrote. Jesus' second point, opening up the mystery, you know, not only glory given, but being one. Paul, you know, unfolded that truth in Scripture. The relationship. He wrote to the church in Ephesus that Christ loved the church as he gave himself for it. The relationship of Jesus Christ with us, with the church. glory given, glory being one with us. As he in Ephesians, I'll just go to it real quick, in chapter 5, he wrote, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Oneness with us, oneness with the church, being one. As he said, to pray to the Father before he crucified, "Oh, the Lord, the glory that you have given, give to them." And being one, that they'd be one, that as I'm one with you, Father, that they'd be one with us, I in them. Glory given, being one, in Christ in us. I in them, Jesus said. In Ephesians, that Paul wrote that the when he prayed that the glory, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, speaking of Christ in us, wishing it or blessing them upon them, that the spirit of revelation would open up their eyes, that they would realize the hope of their calling and the glory within them. Christ in us. And in Colossians, he says something interesting. In chapter 1, 26, he says, "The mystery, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." The mystery unfolded, the mystery taught, the mystery revealed, the hope of glory, Christ within us, the mother lode, Jesus Christ within us, the mother lode of the truth. Paul opens up, glory given, being one, Christ in us. Then in verse 26, back in Romans, he says, "But now has been made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith." Made manifest now. He opened it up. Jesus opened it up. He revealed it or unfolded it for us. But made manifest, glory revealed. The Bible tells us that Jesus, when the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, John wrote, "We beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." His glory revealed to man in Jesus becoming man, revealed to us through the gospel, made manifest, Paul teaches, who Jesus is, the gospel. He goes on to say, it was made known to all the nations, made manifest, and by prophetic scriptures, has been made known. Glory shared, made known to us. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, made known. I was, thinking about this. Paul completed his mission. The Bible tells us that, it was given to Paul to open up the gospel to the Gentiles. And Paul did. The Bible says that he reached the whole known world. He taught the whole gospel. He delivered the goods. And that's what he's saying, made known to you. And I was thinking about that. I was filling out a resume today. And I was thinking about how about a delivery position. So I delivered the goods. Paul delivered the goods, on time, intact, the truth of Jesus Christ. Made known, made manifest, Jesus in us, as he opened up the truth of the gospel. But he gives the reason. He comes to the end. He really repeats the reason. In verse 26, He says, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. The purpose of him opening up the gospel. Or the purpose of the book of Romans. Or the purpose of the understanding of God's grace. God's grace is a free gift of salvation. The Bible tells us in Romans 8 that we're delivered. He delivers the goods by giving us his spirit, freeing us from the law of sin and death. But for the purpose of obeying the faith. And that's how he opens the letter too. In chapter 1, he says, you know, in verse 5, through whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. And Paul, you know, walked it out and lived it and obeyed the gospel. But the purpose of this book that we're finishing is that not only we receive God's grace, but that we would obey the faith. And the intent, God's intent, the purpose of the mystery being made manifest and made known, Christ in us, being one with him, glory given, glory shared, is that we would obey the faith. In verse 27, Paul finishes with, to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. There's a lot of amens here. You know, and he's, you know, reaching out for an agreement. That's what amen means. It means, you know, so be it. I agree with it. Amen. Coming to the end of the gospel, or the gospel of grace, or the book of Romans, that we'd obey the faith, the truth that's been opened up to us, the truth of God's grace that sustains us, that makes us strong, being rooted and grounded, established in him, the truth of the gospel, Christ's gospel, to obey him, to receive what he has, to download the program in us. You know, they're having problems with Vista. Has anybody got Vista? I hear there's a lot of problems with it. But the operating system within us, you know, that's supposed to be active is his grace. And the purpose of him writing this is that we would obey him, that we'd receive his gift, and that we accept and walk with him. The truth shared, revealed, and opened up to us. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. As we come to the end of the book of Romans, we look to you, Lord, to more than, you know, it'd be an academic study here with our mind. But Lord, it would go deeper in our heart, that we receive what you're trying to tell us, that we would accept the gift that you offer. And Lord, that we would obey, we would walk with you, we'd be one with you, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Lord, we look to you. We know that your word is living and powerful and active and true, able to, you know, cut through the soul and the spirit, the flesh, revealing the truth to our heart. And Lord, we do look to you to download, plant your word in our heart. Change us, Lord, according to the truth of the gospel, according to your word, according to this, your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.